and the more high-quality connections we form, the more likely we are to see our work as a calling instead of just a job, which in turn fuels the happiness advantage. So on and so on. The effects of one principle become the trigger for another, so that they become far more than just the sum of their parts. Together, they can take us farther than any one could on its own. Rippling outward. The benefits don't stop there. The more we capitalize on the happiness advantage ourselves, the more we can impact the lives of those around us. Extraordinarily, recent research exploring the role of social networks in shaping human behavior has proven that much of our behavior is literally contagious, that our habits, attitudes, and actions spread through a complicated web of connections to infect those around us. In their groundbreaking book, Connected, Nicholas Christakis and James Fowler draw on years of research to show how our actions are constantly cascading and bouncing off each other in every which way and direction. Ties do not extend outward in straight lines like spokes on a wheel, they write. Instead, these paths double back on themselves and spiral around like a tangled pile of spaghetti, weaving in and out of other paths that rarely ever leave the plate. This theory holds that our attitudes and behaviors don't only infect the people we interact with directly, like our colleagues, friends, and families, but that each individual's influence actually appears to extend to people within 3 degrees. So when you use these principles to make positive changes in your own life, you are unconsciously shaping the behavior of an incredible number of people. As James Fowler explains it, I know that I'm not just having an impact on my son. I'm potentially having impact on my son's best friend's mother. This influence adds up. Fowler and Christakis estimate that there are nearly 1,000 people within 3 degrees of most of us. This is a true ripple effect. By trying to make ourselves happier and more successful, we actually have the ability to improve the lives of 1,000 people around us. At this point, this might seem a little far-fetched. To begin to understand why our behavior is so infectious and our influence so powerful, we need to first take a look at one of my favorite experiments. Smiles in the brain. I begin most of my lectures by asking the audience to break up into pairs. Then I say something like the following. Over the course of your life, you have excelled in part because of your impressive self-discipline. You have used it to study so you could pass the classes you needed to, apply to the schools and jobs you needed to, and be successful enough that you are in this room to hear this lecture today. I want you to take all of that self-discipline you've been cultivating for the past couple decades to do the following. For the next 7 seconds, no matter what your partner says or does, I want you to show absolutely no emotional reaction. Do not get angry, sad, or frustrated, and do not smile or laugh. Go completely blank. Show no emotion, no matter what. I then ask each person number 2 to simply look their partner in the eyes and smile at them genuinely. I've done this experiment hundreds of times in corporate settings across the world, with everyone from nervous newbies to cantankerous lifers. The result is always the same. Virtually no one can refrain from returning their partner's smile, and most break into laughter almost immediately. It doesn't matter if I do this experiment during a week of massive layoffs, or on a day when the stock market has plunged 600 points. I still see the same involuntary explosion of smiles. Even in parts of the world where smiling is less of a social norm, 80 to 85% of the participants cannot stop themselves from smiling. If you think about this, it's really pretty incredible. After all, if these people have the self-discipline and focus to work 10 to 16-hour days, lead global teams, and manage multi-million-dollar projects, surely they can handle a task as simple as controlling their facial expressions for a mere 7 seconds, right? But the fact is, they can't, because something is going on in their brain that they aren't even consciously aware of. This mysterious force is the foundation of the ripple effect. Mirror, mirror on the wall. One Friday evening, I landed in Australia, exhausted but excited about my very first adventure down under. That weekend, I intended to visit the Opera House, Koala Park, and the Harbour Bridge before Monday rolled around, and I was due in downtown Sydney to run an executive training session. But first I headed down to the hotel lobby to engage in one of my favorite business trip rituals. Find a local bar, watch local sports, listen to locals talk. I was lucky enough to grab a stool just as an important rugby match was about to start on TV. Soon, a boisterous crowd had gathered around to watch. The match was hardly underway before one of the rugby players got decked. Hard. Mid-stride, with ball in hand, he'd taken a swift elbow to the face that pitched him backward in a way I thought physically impossible for someone with bones. The entire bar erupted in an audible groan. I saw the man to my right put his hands to his face in the exact spot the rugby player had been hit. Then I noticed the guy sitting next to him had just done the same. And then I realized, amazingly, I had done it too. Now, we were in a bar in Sydney, while the game was at a stadium in Brisbane, several hundred miles away. None of us was on the rugby pitch, nor had any of us been assaulted by an errant elbow. Yet we had all responded physically, involuntarily, and quite dramatically, as though we ourselves had been hit. What happened at that Australian sports bar is exactly the same thing that happens when I do the smile experiment. But only in the last decade have scientists finally had the technology to peer inside our brains and uncover the reason behind it. What they found were something called mirror neurons, specialized brain cells that can actually sense and then mimic the feelings, actions, and physical sensations of another person. Let's say a person is pricked by a needle. The neurons in the pain center of his or her brain will immediately light up, which should come as no surprise. But what is a surprise is that when that same person sees someone else receive a needle prick, the same set of neurons lights up, just as though he himself had been pricked. In other words, he actually feels a hint of the pain of a needle prick, even though he himself hasn't been touched. If this sounds incredible, believe me when I tell you it has been replicated in countless other experiments involving sensations that range from pain to fear to happiness to disgust. In fact, I bet you've even experienced this in your daily life. Have you ever been watching someone play golf on TV and catch yourself involuntarily moving in the direction of his swing? Obviously, your conscious brain knows that you're sitting on a couch eating potato chips. But another small part of your brain, the part where the mirror neurons reside, thinks you are out on that green. Incidentally, this is one reason athletes watch training videos and play video games. Because even without physical practice, the effects of practice get wired into their brains. Then, because mirror neurons are often right next to motor neurons in the brain, copied feelings often lead to copied actions. Suddenly, you're moving like you're swinging a golf club, without even knowing it. This is why smiles become contagious, and why babies automatically mimic the funny faces their parents make. And it's why watching someone get elbowed in the face in Brisbane immediately caused a bar full of rugby fans in Sydney to reach toward their own faces in agony. Your colleagues are contagious. This phenomenon isn't exclusive to physical sensations or actions. Thanks to these same mirror neurons, our emotions too are enormously contagious. As we pass through the day, our brains are constantly processing the feelings of people around us, taking note of the inflection in someone's voice, the look behind their eyes, the stoop of their shoulders. In fact, the amygdala can read and identify an emotion in another person's face within 33 milliseconds, and then just as quickly prime us to feel the same. In addition to the subconscious process, people also consciously assess the mood of those around them and act accordingly. Both processes together make it possible for emotions to jump from person to person in an instant. In fact, studies have shown that when three strangers meet in a room, the most emotionally expressive person transmits his or her mood to the others within just 2 minutes. Unfortunately, the power of emotional contagion means that overt negativity can infect a group of people almost instantly. Daniel Goleman couldn't have said it better. Like secondhand smoke, the leakage of emotions can make a bystander an innocent casualty of someone else's toxic state. This means that when we feel anxious or adopt an overtly negative mindset, these feelings will start to seep into every interaction we have, whether we like it or not. You may have noticed that when your boss walks into a meeting in a palpably bad mood, within just minutes, it will have spread to the entire room. And the effects ripple out from there, as each worker returns back to his or her own office, spreading that negativity to everyone in his or her path. If just 2 minutes can have such an impact, imagine the effects of sharing a work environment with an overtly negative person for 2 weeks or 2 years. In fact, emotions are so shared, organizational psychologists have found that each workplace develops its own group emotion or group affective tone, which over time creates shared emotion norms that are proliferated and reinforced by the behavior, both verbal and nonverbal, of the employees. We have all encountered office environments that suffer from toxic emotion norms. And now we also know that their bottom line results suffer because of it. Spreading the happiness advantage. Luckily, positive emotions are also contagious, which makes them a powerful tool in our quest for high performance in the workplace. Positive emotional contagion starts when people subconsciously mimic the body language, tone of voice, and facial expressions of those around them. Amazing as it might sound, once people mimic the physical behaviors tied to these emotions, it causes them to feel the emotion themselves. Smiling, for instance, tricks your brain into thinking you're happy, so it starts producing the neurochemicals that actually do make you happy. Scientists call this the facial feedback hypothesis, and it is the basis of the recommendation, fake it till you make it. While authentic positivity will always trump its faux counterpart, there is significant evidence that changing your behavior first, even your facial expression and posture, can dictate emotional change. So the happier everyone is around you, the happier you will become. This is why we laugh more at a funny movie when we're in a theater full of laughing people, and why television sitcoms use a laugh track. Likewise, the happier we are at work, the more positivity we transmit to our colleagues, teammates, and clients, which can eventually tip the emotion of an entire work team. Few people have illuminated this domino effect more perfectly than Yale psychologist Siegel Barsaid, who conducted a study where he assigned volunteers a group task and then secretly instructed one member of the group to be overtly positive. He then videotaped the proceedings, tracked the emotions of each individual team member before and after the session, and assessed both individual and group performance on the task itself. The results were remarkable. When the positive team member entered the meeting, his mood became instantly contagious, traveling around the room and infecting those around him. Furthermore, this positive mood improved each individual team member's performance, as well as their ability to accomplish the task as a group. The teams where one person sparked positive emotional contagion experienced less group conflict, more cooperation, and most important, greater overall performance on the task at hand. So just one positive team member, one person using the happiness advantage, can affect both the individual attitudes and performance of those around him, as well as the dynamic and accomplishments of the group as a whole. Of course, some people have a more powerful effect on a group's emotional tone than others. For starters, the more genuinely expressive someone is, the more their mindset and feelings spread. But if openly expressing positivity doesn't come naturally to you, there are other ways your own positive habits can become contagious. For instance, the stronger your social connections, the more influence you wield. You may have noticed that when you spend time with a close friend, you feel in tune with each other. This is because the neural activity in your brain's emotional center is actually mirroring his or hers, and vice versa. And soon you fall into sync, like two pianos playing the same song. When you walk down the hallway together, your arms and legs even swing in sync. You two are in rapport, the basis of positive social connection and a major conduit for spreading the happiness advantage. Rapport demands our full attention, our warmth, and our coordinated responsiveness. In return, we feel a resonance that not only increases our happiness, but actually makes us more successful and productive. Workers in rapport think more creatively and efficiently, and teams in rapport perform at higher levels. Their thoughts are attuned, and their brains are in effect working as one. The more socially invested we are, the more chances we have at attaining this level of rapport, which in turn makes our own behavior more contagious. So when we model the type of mindset and habits that fuel high performance, we are in effect instilling these very mindsets and habits in our colleagues, friends, and loved ones. One study of Dartmouth College students by economist Bruce Sacerdote illustrates how powerful this influence is. He found that when students with low grade point averages simply began rooming with higher scoring students, their grade point averages increased. These students, according to the researchers, appeared to infect each other with good and bad study habits, such that a roommate with a high grade point average would drag upward the GPA of his lower scoring roommate. One way to build rapport, and therefore extend this influence, is with eye contact. Studies show the rapport strengthens between two people when they lock eyes, proving that the old business wisdom about always looking people in the eye is actually scientifically sound advice. This is also why couples so often say to each other, "Look at me when I'm talking to you," and why orgasms are stronger when we look into our partner's eyes. Eye contact tells our mirror neurons to fire, and when they do, the result is better performance, whether we're in the boardroom or in the bedroom. The power to spark positive emotional contagion multiplies if you're in a leadership position. Studies have found that when leaders are in a positive mood, their employees are more likely to be in a positive mood themselves, to exhibit pro-social helping behaviors towards one another, and to coordinate tasks more efficiently and with less effort. Sit around an unsmiling or anxious boss for too long, and you too will start to feel sad or stressed, regardless of how you felt originally. Whereas if your boss is using the seven principles to increase his own positivity, your mere proximity to him will allow you to start to feel the benefits, and not just of greater happiness, but of all the advantages that come cascading along with it. As we now know, people in positive moods are better able to think creatively and logically, and to engage in complex problem solving, even be better negotiators. It is no surprise then that CEOs who are rated high on scales of positive expression are more likely to have employees who report being happy and who describe their workplace as a climate conducive to performance. Similar studies of sports teams have found not only that one happy player was enough to infect the mood of the entire team, but also that the happier the team was, the better they played. So without even actively trying to change the way you lead, using the seven principles to increase your own level of positivity will start to change the group dynamics and performance of your whole team. What this means is that leading by example is no longer an empty mantra. Practicing the seven principles in your own life can actually become your most effective leadership tool without your even knowing it. Take an executive who has been writing down a gratitude list each night before he goes to sleep. As he leads his team's morning meeting, he is now in a mindset that allows him to spot more opportunities to be positive, which might compel him to praise the work of one of his direct reports. This in turn, A, primes the recipient's brain with positive emotions, which helps him think more creatively and efficiently. B, gives him a sense of having achieved a goal, however small, and thus the confidence to go after bigger and bigger ones. And C, provides the spark that builds a high-quality connection between the executive and his employee, and cements the social cohesion and organizational commitment of the whole group. All of this ensures that each person in the room will spread positivity to their own reports, and so on, until each person and the organization as a whole profits from it. Thus, what started as a personal at-home exercise for one member of management trickles down to impact everyone at every level of the organization. Every big wave starts small. It has been said that a single butterfly flapping its wings can create a hurricane halfway around the world. As this theory, known as the butterfly effect, goes, the flap of a butterfly's wings may be one tiny motion, but it creates a slight gust of wind that eventually picks up greater and greater speed and power. In other words, one very small change can trigger a cascade of bigger ones. Each one of us is like that butterfly, and each tiny move toward a more positive mindset can send ripples of positivity through our organizations, our families, and our communities. Remember in part one, we talked about how we can never really know the true extent of our potential. Well, the ripple effect is the perfect example of how there are no real discernible limits to our influence and our power. When you capitalize on the happiness advantage, you are doing far more than improving your own well-being and performance. The more you profit from the principles in this audio program, the more everyone around you profits. In principle one, we talked about the Copernican revolution underway in the field of psychology, and how just as Copernicus discovered that the Earth actually orbits the sun, recent advances in positive psychology and neuroscience have taught us that success actually revolves around happiness, not the other way around. Well, as it turns out, and as you've heard in this chapter, this finding is even more revolutionary than we could have ever imagined. Because we now also know that it's not just our individual success that orbits around our happiness. By making changes within ourselves, we can actually bring the benefits of the happiness advantage to our teams, our organizations, and everyone around us. This is Sean Acor. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of The Happiness Advantage, the 7 principles of positive psychology that fuel success and performance at work, by Sean Acor. This program was directed by Paul Rubin, executive producer Dan Zitt. This program was edited at John Marshall Sound. Text copyright 2010 by Sean Acor. Production copyright 2010, Random House Inc. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.